Blog Talk Radio.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shows together, we're polishing up our act.
My Imhotep, Grand Rising, and Better Love. You are listening to the Truth to Power Show, and I'm Beverly. Ain't no stopping us now because we got Myron Rice in the house, and the pen is mightier than the bullet, and he know how to use that pen. How are you doing, Myron Rice?
We are doing, I am doing great. I'm doing okay.
Great, great. Good to have you with us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I gave a few people, I gathered the wrong number, but I think I straightened it out. So we should have a nice full house. I don't know. Do you know how many people there's on?
Well, I know how many on the telephone. I don't know how many listening all together, but you got they lining up. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
So,
We're going to start because I know that there's a lot to be done, even though this is an open forum. I just want to start off by stating to people that you need to resign from the corporation. And when I say corporation, in my case, it's the state of Michigan. If you're in another state, state of Ohio, state of Illinois, state of Kentucky, you need to resign. And resigning does not take away, you will retain all the benefits and privileges that you had before you resigned. And if you could go into the Title 20 CFR 404.1905, resigning as an agent, terminating the agreement. You're terminating an agreement. We say agreement because you only have one signature on most of all the documents that we sign. They do not sign with us. We have one signature. We may have a notary as a witness. Unless we may have other witnesses, but basically they are agreements, and we could terminate those agreements. Again, that's 20 CFR 404.1905. Now, before we get into it, I want to let you people know, I do what the laws is telling me to do, and if I've given you the law and you can't read the law and figure out what to do, then you don't need to be doing this. Because that means that you still have the public school education, and we even talk about college. You know, none of these items taught us about finances, and basically I like to stick to or try to help you all with the finance part of it, how to get rid of your bills, how to get rid of your debts. And I found the easiest way is to resign because your social, which is what every corporation is out there to get its credit, because there is no money. There is no money. But there's credit that the United States gives people. And this credit is what they're all going after. There was a movie, it was an excellent movie called Jones Plantation. Hopefully some of you might have got a chance to read it or listen to the video before they yanked it off of the air. But maybe someplace you can find it. It's called Jones Plantation. And it basically talks about how the United States started, but this guy started it at a plantation. It was an excellent movie, and I see why they took it away. But I just want to let you know, have a pencil and paper. Our state laws, I hope you have a computer or your telephone, because as I give you these laws, you can read them. I'll be reading them, the important parts of it, not the whole law, but what I feel is important for you to understand. So I just want you to know, if you don't have a pencil and paper, go on and hang up, because you don't need to be on the show. However, Beverly is recording it, and I gather you can download it later and listen to it at your convenience. when you wise enough to understand what it is, but then you can't ask no questions, can you? And that's what I want to just start off saying. I help people, but only at the point of where I have to know you resigned, because I'm so tired of saying I have retired. I personally have retired because I'm tired of saying the same thing over and 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 over again. If you listen to my our previous calls that we did back in, 2019 and right before the pandemic came in, I'm still, we talked about taxes mostly at that time. Taxes, how you make more money through the year. You give your employer that W-4T, or just walk in and say, I unvolunteer you taking money out my check from the W-4. That's what the W-4T is, terminating the W-4. Now, you may sign the file. It used to be real good. The form was used to be very readily, easily defined. However, I see they have yanked it off. You better put the dash in there, W-4T, and you may be able to pull it up. At the end of the year, now, this is how you get more money. Your check is going to be a full check with nothing been taken out of. Fellas, child support, all that is eliminated. Nobody can take anything from your check without your permission. So if you tell your employer to stop taking anything out of my check, then any garnishment that you have will be eliminated. Eliminated.
Even
just letting you know.
Even the RIS, how eliminated. They take stuff out your... All right.
Period. IRS too. They only have three ways of getting at you. One is through your job, garnishing your job. The second would be through your bank account. And I pray that nobody out here have a bank account with their social attached to it. That is the silliest thing that you can ever do. Do not have a bank account with your social attached to it. The all cap name, that's great, but put an EIN number on that all cap name. Then they don't know who you are. They don't know what you are, and no one can find you. And the third way of getting it is through the IRS, getting the IRS to garnish the check. But I don't know how often they even do that. People garnish from their IRS check unless it's an IRS debt that they have to pay. But then there's ways to get rid of that too. But I just want to try to break it down so that it's pretty much real easy. I'm saying pretty much the same thing all the time. However, some people have not soaked in and they're still struggling. And again, you are your worst enemy. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You have to get out of that Webster dictionary and go get you a Black's Law dictionary. Because if you don't do that, you won't be at the same level as these corporations are at operating. So, any questions?
And we do have some new people that's here too. So, and then we have some people that wasn't really interested in it back in 2019, but because of the way the economy and things is now, they paying attention now. So you got all different factors going on here too. And now when you say resign, now as a resident agent, now you're saying that every corporation has a resident agent? Is that true?
Yes, that is true. Every corporation has a Michigan is called resident agent, but most states they're called registered agent.
Okay. And so you're saying that because the state of Michigan is a corporation, and each state that we have in the union here, and you're saying that we are part of that corporation because we are a resident agent, correct? And if we resign from that, then that take us out of being not part of that corporation.
You are no longer address of that corporation.
Okay.
That means
the
nobody
address.
Can send
okay.
you a bill. Now, we have, like, for you, example, Michigan, to become an agent, and it's required that they have one, we have a law, MCL 450.1241. Registered
office. Wait a minute. Mr. Rice, 450 what? Point what?
1212.1241.
And that's resident agent. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, registered office
okay.
and resident agent required. Think of that, what I just said. Registered office and resident agent required. And then address. So you have an address, you live in the state, you are called a resident of the state. Why are you a resident? It's because the state owns that house, that address you're on, unless you get it out the system, which I have done. Get it out the system. Get it off the tax roll. But we're not getting that's another whole subject matter there. Get it off the tax roll. So now you become just a natural person, domiciled on the land. You're not a resident. So when you say, hey, I'm a resident, that means that somebody else, like you're renting, you're a renter. Basically, you are a renter of your own house. People who have a house, the house is paid off. You are still a resident. The state still owns the house. You didn't complete the paperwork. Yes.
And what part of it that they didn't complete? Because you go to the closing and you do the closing. Now, what part of it that they didn't complete to make them the owner of the house and not the
everything,
state?
Yeah, everything that's happened that you happen is called administrative law. Under administrative law, you have agreements, one signature. Now, I ask anyone out there who have a home, who think that they is their house, they own it, to go down to the register of deeds and ask them, give them the address you live at, and ask them to show you a document where your signature is on the bottom of the page. Your signature is on the bottom of the page. I'm sorry, we don't have anything. The only thing they may have is a warranty deed, but it has the signature of the seller. So in other words, I can't make it any simpler than this. It's Christmas time. Someone gave you a gift. They put it under the tree. And you never opened up the gift. You never accepted the gift. That's what everyone in this country has done. And this has been deliberately done against you. One signature is an agreement. Two signature is what is called a common law contract. Common law is what you need to get back into. Not that administrative stuff. Common law contract. So you have to accept the warranty deed. I don't care if you lost the house. First in time, first in line. If you lost the house, all you have to do is go back. And there might have been quick claim deeds done. Quick claim deeds is nothing but just giving someone possession of it. You know, if you got a car and your kid want to use it, here, take the car, go grocery shopping. They don't own the car. You're supposed to still own the car. You just let them use it. So that's basically what we are doing. We're renting everything from the state. You can get out of being under the state if I resign. I'm definitely not an employee of the state. I quit. And if you read Michigan law, on resigning, and let me go ahead. Michigan Law resigning here is MCL 450.1243. MCL, which is Michigan Compiled Law, 450.1243. Resignation of resident agent. And I can go through and read all of it, but the last line says, the resigned agents shall no longer be the registered office of the corporation. The resigned agent shall no longer be the registered office of the corporation. So if I'm not the office, they can't send me any mail. They can't send me any mail, any debts. Let's go back up to my job description. That resident agent, it's a job. We have a job. We need to know what is the job description. In Michigan, it's MCL 450.1243, service of process. Service of process. The resident agent appointed you all. You were all appointed. You didn't fill out no application. You were appointed when you got your driver's license because it gave them a name and an address. They knew everybody was going to get a driver's license. So they now they have a name and an address. The resident agent appointed by a corporation is an agent of the corporation upon whom any process, notice, or demand required or permitted by law to be served upon the corporation may be served. So if I was working at McDonald's and the mailman came in and gave me some bills that said McDonald's on it, I don't open it up and get three jobs and pay the debt that McDonald's owe. I am to give it to the manager. And it says here on the last line, upon receiving service of process, the resident agent shall promptly forward it to the director or officer at his or her last known address. Upon accepting the mail with their name on it, your all cap name is their name. All cap is a corporation. That's their name. The resident, or in some states, the registered agent, shall promptly forward it to the director or officer at his or her last known address. Now, let me spend a few minutes explaining with his and her last known address. You are a resident or registered agent. That's one employee. The state that you live in my case, state of Michigan, is an agency of my all cap name. It was created the day I was born. An agency was created. Now, agency has four people to protect it. You are one of them. The next one would be the Secretary of State of your state, not the federal, the Secretary of State of your state. Your state treasurer be the third person. The state treasurer would be the third person. He created an account when you were born. He created an account. There was $1.8 million given to that account when you were born, and under the state plans, every state has plans, they have to submit the people in that state, and they get $1 million every single year someone's in that state. It could be you, or you could leave and go to another state. It don't matter. That's why they take a survey. They're not looking to see where you at, who you are, where you live. They just need to know how many heads is in the state so they can get money from the Department of Commerce. They get $1 million, and this was back in 1935. It's called the Social Security Act of 1935. Title V, Section 501 and 502, Social Security Act of 1935, Title V, Roman numeral V, the V, Section 501, 502. So there's some money given to you. Credit, it's had to be given to you. And they think that's how much credit you'll spend the rest of your life. But either way, so you got the treasurer and you have the attorney general. Those are four people. You, the secretary of state, the state treasurer, and the attorney general. And it says, his or her last address. So what if I get a ticket and they send me something saying, come to court? Well, that's a service of process I just received. I don't go there and, you know, buy me a new hat and put on a new suit and go to the court. That's not me to do. I am to properly forward it to the attorney general. He deals with legal issues. I get a bill. Okay, it's about money. Well, who deals with the money? The state treasurer. If it's something that needs to be recorded or filed, then go to the Secretary of State. That is what an agent does. You pass it on. Nowhere in here in my job description saying I am to get four or five jobs and I need to go and come out of my pockets. No way. So this is why I'm trying to get y'all to see. Before you resign, you should never be paying. I did it for a year and a half. Whatever I didn't like, I sent it to one of those four people. If I didn't know where it go, then I would give it to the governor. But I figured he knows who needs to deal with this. Pass it to the governor. If you don't know or can't figure out which one it goes to, then give it to the governor. That's why we said his or her last known address. We got a female for our governor. So, but I'm just stating, you are complaining, you are fussing, you are fighting, you are fretting, you are stressing over somebody else's bill. The all cap name and the last for your social, whatever that is, or this whole social, don't belong to you. It never belonged to you. This is how you were mentally conditioned. How would that happen? Well, in public school, folks, the first day of class, what does the teacher do? Roll call. Myron Rice, here. So-and-so, here. Beverly D, here. You are identifying yourself with the name. Kids now has been saying, oh, I'm the agent for that name. You know, I'm the natural person behind that name, but I'm not the principal. The principal is the state of Michigan or the state of Ohio, the state of. When you see that word of, then you know it's a corporation. Now, we're talking about I'm national. Now, if I quit, and that means I'm not a U.S. citizen. So what am I? Whatever the hell I want to be. Whatever I want to be. I'm just not a U.S. citizen because I'm not, I don't have that title anymore. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not the beneficiary of that, and that gives you all your benefits and stuff. You know, all the work, all the money you put in Social Security. You know, I'm going to lose my attention. I get Social Security. If I quit, I'm not going to know. I just gave you the law that says read it. You retain whatever you had before you quit. You retain it. So what, you're crying over nothing. You don't know the laws or the codes. These are not really laws. These are codes. These are codes that somebody, the Congress of the state got together and they created. Every state has their own Congress. You notice every state has their own House of Representatives, has their own Senate. Because at one point, one time, they were all a country. I used to love that movie, The Alamo, with John Wayne in there. And he talked about being part of a country. He was a Tennessean. I'm a Michiganian. There's Ohioans. These were part of a country, not a corporation, not an employee. So I guess the majority of people who's calling, the majority of people who are complaining will be able to solve that problem. I guarantee you 90% of your problem is because you have not resigned. And the reason I say you don't have to resign to do this, to give them that paperwork, because that's the job description that you have. But if you quit, then there's no way they even give you anything. IRS sent me back in 2015. Oh, you owe this. They sent me about seven. You owe that. You owe this. I got a stamp that I put on the envelope. I quit, and I put it in the newspaper, and I mailed it back to them. I quit, and I put it in the newspaper. I gave public notice that I quit, and nobody argued it. The newspaper gave me an affidavit of publication, and there's a number in the bottom in the middle here in Michigan, and I can get that to the court. Yes, this is the number on my application, on the affidavit of publication. You can go and read. I resigned. Now, you quit a job. Can anyone from that job ever come back and tell you to do something? I don't care if it's 10, 15 years. I quit. Why are you even calling me? Why are you talking to me? Go away. Go away. So these are the things that I believe, and we're going to go through questions, and I'm going to say, when you ask your question, the question I ask you, are you still working for that corporation that you're complaining about? Those bills that you're getting? Anyway, now, I did want to finish. Go ahead. I want to finish this.
Go ahead.
We were talking about how the W-4-4T, it gets you a higher check through the year. Your check will be full. At the end of the year, there's a form called a W-2C. It's correcting the W-2 that your employer gives you. That W-2 that your employer gives you says wages. Now, my question is, if you look at a 1040 tax form, and the first box, number one, it says wages, tips, and other compensation. Well, wait a minute. My wage was in a tip, but it's in the same box. You know what they say? If it walk like a duck, if it quack like a duck, if it waddle like a duck, it's a duck. If you in the same box next to tip, then that means you are considered a tip, which is considered a capital gain. Capital gains is what corporations have, and they have to have that capital gain as their profit, and their profit has to be taxed. But you have to realize your job, you punched a clock. You was on some kind of time. You worked so many hours per week. You put your heart, sweat, and effort and everything on the job. Why would you pay taxes on what you worked for? They got their work out of you. Why would you pay taxes on it? And you gave your employee your social, so he took money out of your estate to pay you. You may not realize it. You are paying yourself to work. You are paying yourself to work. Now, if you have a business, and you're a consultant for somebody, and at the end of the year, they give you a 1099 OID. Well, they did the same thing. They took it out of your estate, and they're giving you a 1099 OID, which anyone knows, it is considered a tax class 5, and it is not taxed. Because if you look at your 1040 tax form and where it says payments, after all the deductions that they have above it, oh, deduct this, go to chart number this and take it from that chart and put it in the line number. You know, all that stuff is all above payment. Under payment, it would say, what, federal income withheld. That's the fancy word for labor. Federal income withheld is a fancy word for labor. Labor is not taxed, but they don't want to put labor in there because then you know you ain't supposed to tax it. But it says federal income withheld from your W-2 and 1099s. Now, it didn't say 1099 OID, 1099K, 1099R. It don't say at what level. It say all 1099s. So federal income withheld. Well, that is what the W-2C is correcting. C means correct. It's correcting it. So it is not a capital gain. It is labor. But they use that word, federal income withheld. In Webster, you might see labor. But if you're looking at black law, you probably see federal income withheld. And it's not taxable. I just want to let you all understand that. And I have had people who have called me, who at the end of the year, later on that year, thank you, Mr. Rice, the gross, listen to this, the gross that was on their W-2, they got it all back. So in other words, you got paid twice because you got your all your money, the same money. Let's say it was a $50,000 job. They paid you through the year, $50,000. End of the year, they gave you that W-2, and it says gross $50,000. So you are going to get back $100,000. Maybe minus a few thousand a year, but who gives a heck, you know? Let them get their little tip, their servicing for filling, doing the taxes, whatever. But that's, you get paid twice. Quit crying, people. I ain't got no money. You got money. You just got that public school education that you need to throw in the trash can. Be like those other races. You know, the Arabs here in Detroit, they have all their, you know, they go to school. The kids, 13 and above, up to 16, they go to school in a certain area. And here's Carmen and Greenfield in that area. They go to school at 6 o'clock in the evening to learn the finances. The Jews, they got there on 696 and Greenfield. They got school. You see them walking around with their beanie hats. They're going to school to learn, you know, finances. What are our kids doing? They're playing games. Basketball, football, hockey,
video.
Baseball. Our video games. The schools, anyone who calls in, ask me, tell me, did you learn how to balance a checkbook at any of your education levels? High school, as well as college. Did they ever show you how to balance a checkbook? I think you probably learned that from your parents. Okay, so again, know your job. Know that everything you have is coming out of the credit, is coming out of the birth certificate. And I really don't care because you get all this money going in there, and if they want to take it, that's fine. But don't be trying to hold me, the natural person, the living, breathing person, and you all dead. You all dead. These corporations are dead. Corp's dead. Corporations dead. Judge coming in the courtroom, he has on black. You, everyone in there is standing up to a dead person. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. What is dead people supposed to do with the truth? What are dead folks supposed to do with the truth? Please tell me. Please explain that to me. How many of you all went around, walking around a grave site and say, hey, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, to you laying down there with the tombstone on top of it? Please tell me, what is that supposed to mean? You know, I just want to understand. I just want you all to understand. I'm trying to present it to you in a way that, you know, maybe you get mad. I don't care if you get mad at me, as long as you understand what we're trying to say here. I feel good. I live good. I don't do that. I can show you how. I pay $100 for 3 years for my insurance. $100 for 3 years. A friend of mine went to the same place last Monday. She went to that same place, and she had to pay $375. So they done went up on her, but I did mine a couple of years ago. But she had to pay $375 for 3 years, people, 3 years. And last Monday, she went to the Secretary of State and got her damn and sticker. She first was on with her mama, and they were going to be paying $125 a month, which is a real good thing to say. But come on, $125 a month for 3 years? That still to me is a lot of money, folks. Everything has been prepaid for. They take money out of our state. You don't even know it is coming out to buy the bills, shopping malls, the food in the grocery stores. They've already paid for. The store just got to record it and tell the state, or you know, how much money was spent in that store, how many items were sold. They have to report that. But don't you know that you could go into Costco, you could go into Sam's and walk out with $300-$400 worth of groceries and don't have to spend a penny? Not a penny. You have to do it as a consumer, people. See, we have so many hats we have to wear. Y'all just wear one hat. Poof. No, let's take off customer, which is where they turn you into. Because when you start paying money, you are a customer. And so that consumers don't pay nothing. It's called essential consumer goods and services. Essential consumer goods and services. And you want to go to a website called lawinsider.com/dictionary/essential, and there's a dash, consumer-goods-and-services with the S. Consumers and services, consumer goods and services, essential consumer goods and services. So goods is what you buy in the store. It's what you get in your hand. Services is what you pay with your utility. They said they have a line coming to your house so you get electricity in the ground where you get your water and your sewer go out of. Those are services. Go to that website. Download the definition. It's free. It's supposed to be free. But you walking in a customer. Hey, I'm a customer. Look at all the laws. Truth in Lending Act. Consumer. Fair Debt Collection Practice Act. Consumer. They don't have no word customer. You walk in a dealership to buy a car. The agent comes up to you, escorts you to his cubicle. You private here. You are a consumer. He tells you how much that car is, writes you up for it. Then he says, oh, you need to give us $300 so we can check your credit. Oh, my God. What did he just do? And you give him $300 to check your credit. What had you just do on? You threw off the consumer when you walked in his cubicle, and you threw on the customer. So now you got to pay for the whole car. When the car was an essential way of paying, of your getting to work, buying your groceries, taking your kids to school. It was essential. It was a necessity. Personal household goods. Those are necessities. Necessities are free. people. But you have to do the research. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I don't want to stop you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, and you do have a consumer protection division in your state under the Attorney General Office. So if you want to know what you need to be doing, maybe you need to contact your consumer protection division. Beverly knows about that. People try to come after her. They say, wait a minute. This consumer gave you a cease and desist. You better not call that lady again. Have you heard from them, Beverly?
No. They was apologizing when the Attorney General contacted them.
He said, we trying to let you all get a 411 on what you need to be doing. You wearing so many different hats. You don't realize who you are and where you are. They know exactly what they want you. They're trying to put you exactly where they want you. They're the one that approved your teacher's lesson plan. So they know what you know because they're the one that told the teacher what to teach you. And we remember, we come from slaves. So, you know, you don't want to educate a slave. You want to make better slaves. You all go to college, and the last year you in college, you are auditioning for a job. Instead of creating one, you auditioning to slave to another corporation. You are auditioning to be a slave for another corporation. You think you have freedom. You think you have freedom, but they can still come after you. So, telling who you are, what you do, your job description, how to quit. You know, let me see. Resign. Where's Michigan resign? I think I already said, you shall no longer be the registered office of the corporation. And guess what? It says a resident agent of a domestic or foreign corporation may resign by filing a written notice of resignation. So they kind of even told me how to write my letter up. R-E means regarding written notice of resignation. Per MCL 450.1243. It's nice when you throw that law in there. And they know you know what you're talking about. Because they're going to say, resignation? What are they talking about? Nobody has resigned from the state. What are they talking about? Well, you give them the law, and they better read it. Give them the law. Okay, folks. And again, there's ways. Go ahead.
No, I was just, well, I'm waiting till you get ready to do the answers. I thought you, the questions. Go ahead, finish. Okay. I don't want to.
Well, I'm just saying, why I resigned, because for one, as a resident agent, I am supposed to mail the bill. I get a bill and I send it to one of those people, the treasurer, the secretary of state, or the attorney general, or the governor. I had to do it by registered mail. That was $18. And I had a lot of bills. You know, I quit. I don't want to pay that. But that was before I saw my liability, my personal liability. Michigan, you got to look at this one. MCL 12.280. MCL 12.280. Personal liability of board members or officers, appointees, or employees of the authority. And you go down to section number 2. Now, this is so sweet. Number 2. And I replace a few words. They're going to say agent of the authority, but I'm going to change authority to the state of Michigan. So I'm going to put the state of Michigan. but I'm going to read this slowly. A member, officer, employee, or agent of the state of Michigan shall not have any interest, either directly or indirectly, in any business organization engaged in any business contract or transaction with the state of Michigan, or in any contract of any other person engaged in any business with the state of Michigan, or in the purchase, sale, lease, or transfer of any property to or from the state of Michigan. There's so many innies in there. Basically, this is like a get out of jail free card. It really, and I didn't find this law until after I resigned. Because if I had knew it before, I would throw this to the court. Excuse me, I'll read it one more time. A member, officer, employee, or agent of the state of Michigan, it says authority, but I'm going to say state of Michigan, put your state in there, shall not have an interest either directly or indirectly in any business organization engaged in any business contract or transaction with any state of Michigan, with the state of Michigan, or in any contract of any other person engaged in any business with the authority, or in the purchase, excuse me, sale, lease, or transfer of any property to or from the state of Michigan. Now, again, this is MCL 12.280, and I went down to number two. Number one just basically said how you was appointed. That's basically they're saying how you had been appointed. So just letting you know here, I, even as an agent, as an employee, whatever had the all cap name on there, whether it was McDonald's, Burger King, all those clowns and kings or whatever they are, all those characters, I was tired of them clowning me. You gonna keep letting this clown you? Then by all means, you can go ahead and hang up the phone and go ahead and quit complaining and just do what you already done or what you were taught to do in public schools. Okay, question time now. If you got any questions out there.
Okay, the call-in number is 323-642-1586 and push the number 1. That's 323-642-1586 and push number 1. Now, also, Mr. Rice, like you gave out the laws of Michigan, isn't it a way that other states, can they put that law in there and put their state name on there, and then their state law should come up? Because these states had similar laws, right?
Yes. Each state is a country. They may have similar laws. That's why I give you the law. You could use selective words and maybe find it under the search, you know, F6, I think, find stuff in your codes in your state, or, and I believe it's still good because I use it, Minnesota Rule 220 is now called Myron's Rule 220. Call Michigan and ask them to send you a certified copy of this, of our law, and put an affidavit saying you applying this law in your private corporation, because we all foreign. Our estate is foreign from all these other corporations. You know, Burger King can't tell McDonald's what to do. These two separate corporations, they are all corporations. So are we. So are we. So you can adopt any laws in your own corporation.
Minnesota Rule 220. I called Minnesota and asked for a certified copy of that rule, and then they send it to me certified. And then I put an affidavit on there. I had it signed it, had it notarized, and then I took it to the state to get authenticated here. Because once the state get in there, it's called a certificate of authority. Now I can operate in the state. You have to have a certificate of authority to operate in your state. How do you do that? Just authenticate it with the state of Michigan. You know, that's what you do. Your birth certificate. Go ahead.
No, go finish. Tell them.
No, I'm just saying your birth certificate, you ain't want, because you may go to federal court. So you want to authenticate it with the federal government, Secretary of State for the federal. And that's called a certificate of genuineness. You are genuine. You just perfected the birth certificate when you do those authentications. You have perfected. I know people, their birth certificate ain't doing all that. They crazy. Because if you read the Rule 220, it says, you have to, under UCC 9-303, perfecting a certificate of title. Once I perfected the certificate of title, the certificate of title I got from them and vital statistics become void. And your certificate has to be surrendered back to them. So now anyone who's addressing you or your social have to address you. You're in control. The state is not in control anymore. There's so many ways. I'm telling you all how to get out of the state owning this, that, and the other. People who bought their cars, how many of you have purchased your car? Why is your car title still with the state that you live in? Say, I want my title, and I want the bonds that you had for my vehicle. If not, I gave Beverly, and I don't know how she could email it to you all. You can email it. How you could ask for another manufacturer certificate of origin that you could use to replace the one that the state, your state has. So you could replace it. Now you're in control, and that's the exemption. If you have the title, not the color of title, that green sheet of paper we get from the state, certificate of title is a color of title. Once you have the title, you are exempt from anything. I don't need no plates. I don't need no insurance. I don't need no driver license. Those are the codes that they put up for when the state owns the vehicle. But if you paid it off, if you bought a used car, then you need to ask for that title and the bond, because they're making money. They give you the title, but there's still a bond out there making money on the market on your vehicle. So you want to get that. Give me my money. Because once they give up the bond, any money that they made in the past years, they have to reimburse you. Okay. What was that you have there?
And going back to when you was talking about the property, the mortgage, and you were saying that we just renting the house, the state owns the house, and you were saying how we can become owner of the house. How was we able to do that? Because you were saying something about the signature or something.
Except
so we didn't record it. We didn't record it. The buyer didn't record it.
We didn't. Yeah, we didn't accept the gift, and we didn't record it after we accepted it. How you accept anything? You use an affidavit. You state all your things. I live in this house. I raised my children here. I got a husband here, a boyfriend living with me. This is my stuff, and I sign it, and being that it's an affidavit, I have to have it notarized. Then you can go get it authenticated by the state, because state is only saying that the notary is in good standing. That is it. They're just verifying that the notary signature is in good standing. And then you refile it back down at the Register of Deeds. Now, some of them don't want to do it because When you go to the counter, that's in the public. What you did is in the private. There's two ways you can do it. Either you can send it registered mail to the county clerk, or the executor, the county executor, or you could file a complaint called at the risk management and say that this employee at the window is giving me, attorneys, oh my God, what's the term?
Legal advice.
Right, and that clerk is not an attorney, but she's giving me legal advice. I want to file a complaint against her. And then you put your paperwork, you attach your paperwork to that complaint. Now it's been filed because you're going to have a file number for that complaint. You can use it for the paperwork.
And then you own your house then because your signature on there. Because like you say, it was only the seller's signature on there before.
Yeah, and the seller was the grantor. And when you accept it, you become the grantee. So let's put it like this. There was a position, and this is throughout the whole United States. There was a position that was vacant called the grantee because there was only one signature. And that was the seller. He was the grantor. Now that you accepted it, you filed it, you are now the grantor, and I would transfer it to a trust. Now you could transfer it to a trust and make them the grantee. If you don't become the grantor, they become the grantee. The reason the county and the servicer and MERS and all these people can take your house is because you had a vacancy as a grantee. They become the grantee. Now they can do what they want because now they're the grantee and the seller was the grantor. So he's been kicked out. So now they're in control and now they can sit there and sell it to somebody else because you didn't come in and take the position. Once you take the position as the grantee, then there's no way they can come in. There's no open office, no vacant office, no vacancy. There's nothing that's been vacant. So they can't come. And you can stop making payments and property, all that stuff you can get out of. Because that's what they can still try to come after you for the pay, but they can't get the house. The land is yours. You own the land. Now, you smart, go to the Department of Interior and get a land patent for that one little block of, legal description that you're living on. Now that you got that, they really, nobody can touch you. All they want is the partial number, and you would get a letter from the president back in 1825, as I did, stating, my guy, he bought it for, I got 166 acres. I thought I was just doing my land, my house was on. No, I got about 25 to 30 blocks I own in Detroit. But I ain't saying nothing till I get my gang together and we can go put a little project up on that land. It's my land. But that's a whole different story. But you could put a patent on your little house there, on that little bitty house that block that you have 70 by, and I think it's 30 across and 70 going back to the alley or to the back. So you can own it, and once you've done that, nobody can come after you. No one can touch you. No one can say you owe anything. You are not under the United States. You're under the Republic. You're part of the Republic. Not the political party republic, the Michigan state, the Ohio state, the Indiana state. Those are part of the republic. I don't know about you all, but I know when I was in school and I said the Pledge of Allegiance, I said it to the republic, which is stand. I didn't say nothing about no democracy. I don't even know where that comes from. I don't even know where they got the word democracy written at anywhere. Did anyone take a pledge to the democracy? I know I said mine to the republic for which it stands. So there, everything is in the republic, the country. Every state is a country. But all the other countries outside the United States of America, they don't want to be dealing with 50 different countries. Y'all need to reunite yourselves. You know, so that's when they came with United States of America, you know. Y'all need to reunite. I don't want to have to deal with Michigan and another group with Ohio. And, you know, they didn't want to deal with a whole bunch of different countries. They want to, you all need to consolidate yourselves. So that's what happens. But, yes, you don't have your grantee title yet. You do not have your grantee. I don't care how long you've been in that house. And some of you people got the house through a quit claim deed, which only possessed you. You're only in possession of it. That is not part of the land. The warranty deed means that that grantor is on the land. He's on the land. You are still renting because you didn't accept it. You got a Christmas present under the tree, and you haven't opened it up. You haven't came and opened it up and accepted it. Thank you. When we get presents from folks, we say thank you. That's, isn't that a sort of an acceptance?
And again, before I open the lines, you know, when they come and repossess the house and the car, again, that was talking, those are your goods, and that goes under the Consumer Protection Act. Is that correct?
That is correct. And they use your house as collateral, excuse me. You gave them, you signed them a promissory note, and they put an application. They got money from the Treasury out of your account. They got money out of the Treasury, out of your account, and it was deposited at the bank in your name. That is the collateral. When they are foreclosing, they're not foreclosing on the house. They're foreclosing on the promissory note. Now, wait a minute. How you going to have two collaterals? You can't have two collaterals. It's like you can't serve two masters. They can't make the house collateral and the promissory note. Well, if you take my house, I suggest you go back and tell them, I want my promissory note and the money from it. You can't have both. It's either one or the other. You can't have both. Your house gone, you better go back and get your promissory note. Hell, you could buy you another house with that. Think about things, folks. Get your mind. Let your mind open up. You'd be surprised. And I learned when I was 11. It's called the law of attraction. It's not something I can show you all or tell you or give you any laws or rules. It's just, well, a God did. It is in the Bible, you know, ask and you will receive. You know, it's just some of the things that you have to learn in the right mental state. You all in love. I met a young lady the other day, and she want to get with, you know, they, well, you can, but I need you to say your alphabets backwards. Why, I can't do it. Well, I guess I can't get with you. You've been saying it forward all your life. She was 75 years old. You could say it, you know, ZYXWBUTSR. Q P O N M L K J I H G F D C B A. It's another. It's a mental exercise. Your children should be doing. I had children I was teaching. Give me your alphabets backwards. And then the day before they had a spelling bee on Friday, they come to me on Thursday. Every word, spell it. Oh, I'm spelling M. No, you spell it backwards. You spell it backwards. Go backwards and spell that word. And I, oh, my God. That Monday, they all happy. This one girl was crying because she got an A minus. I don't know how she got an A minus, but all the other kids got A's. If they know the words backwards, you know they're going to know it forward. Life is the same way. I don't know how many people out there went to college, but the teacher's teaching you one way in college, but I guarantee when the test comes, it ain't nothing like it was when they were teaching in the classroom. It's like Jeopardy. They give you the question, and you got to come out with the answer. I think that's one of the best games out there. They give you the answer, you got to come up with the questions. Or you're stuck in the middle of a problem, and you got to either go back to the question, or you got to go, or you can start figuring what the answer is. Do the alphabet backwards. See it in your head. Close your eyes. See it on your eyelids. Practice it mentally. You got to mentally change the way you see things. You know, you look at the word and you say, they call it, in jail, what they call it, sagging. You know, oh, your pants is sagging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you say, well, why don't you do it backwards? If you do it backwards, what is this saying? Take sagging, S-N-A-G-G-I-N-G. It's supposed to be, did I spell it right? How you spell sagging? S-A-G-G-I-N. I'm sorry. S-A-G-G-I-N. And you spell it, the other way is niggas. Spell it back with niggas. Lie. Hey, I'm a lie. Spell, what's lie backwards?
Evil.
Thank you. Yeah, and believe me, I don't think lie of things is just by coincidence. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to open up the line. Let me see what we have here. Okay, I'm going to 832. 832, area code 832. Okay. They just listening. Okay, let's see. 313. I'm Michiganan. Do you have your mute on? 313-468.
Hello.
Hello. We here. You're
hello.
Live.
Hello.
Can
hello.
You hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, we can. What is your question?
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
I've been listening to you for a little while. I'm from Detroit, but I'm actually in back and forth between Georgia and Alabama right now. I've definitely been listening to you about resigning, and it's crazy because I had first heard about it from you, and then a lot of information started coming out about it. And I actually wrote a letter, and I was going to try to reach out to you by email and try to send it to you. But I was wondering, would it be okay if I read it online to see if you can let me know what's good about it or what's bad about it, before I send it in?
Before you do that, if you were working for you have a job, I assume, because you go back and forth. If you wanted to quit the job, what would you write to them? What would you say? I quit. That's all you got to say.
I quit.
That's all you got to put two words in there.
I quit. Notice, I quit.
Because I'm giving them the law and telling them what I'm doing. So you got the law. If they want to know what are you doing, read the law. It tells you. I'm resigning. But in the meanwhile, I quit. And you got 30 days to find somebody else to take my place, which you cannot do. Because I'm the ideal myself.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but
so
you read our law.
Complicated, basically, what you're saying.
No. We are the people. We can do whatever we want. We can say what we want. All we got to do is give them notice. I'm giving you notice. I quit. Just like you would on your job. If you got a job you don't like, you just say, I quit. I resign, and this is the law that I'm resigning. I'm letting you know. Don't have anyone send any mail to me. Now, if I do get some mail, because some people are not going to hear about it, I just put that little stamp on there. I got a little stamp I had made. I quit, and this is when I quit, and I put it in the newspaper, and boom, because you put it in the paper. If people want to see
some of the things that I put in the paper, they can go to the Detroit Legal News and go under public notice and type in Myron Charles Rice. And
okay.
There's two notes. One was in August where I authenticated my birth certificate, my birth record, my ANC. I filed by UCC, non-UCC. And in September the 12th is when I quit the agency. I terminated my driver's license. You know, it was so long ago. But, you know, I did it back then.
Let me ask you something about that real quick, too, because, you know, I've been driving for years on my passport, and, you know, literally the state, Michigan State Police pulled me over, let me go. I had 6 warrants plus traffic tickets, and they let me go because I've been traveling on the passport, and they couldn't arrest me. But it came to the time where I need a new car right now, and I don't want to recontract with them on a driver's license, and I do want to quit, but I'm having difficulties buying a car because of the fact that I don't have a driver's license. Do you know any workarounds on that, on how I can try to get a car without having to use a driver's license?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
need money. You need to, all you need to do is, who did I say in the state that you work with? Who's one of your partners in the state has the money?
Michigan Treasury or the Attorney General.
Thank you. And he's getting $1 million every year. When the last time you asked him for some money?
Okay. Never. I never asked.
I'm just saying. If he's getting $1 million every year for your expenses, when is anyone calling? You know, everybody want to do that 1099A and 1099C and B and all. Well, why you want to go federal when you could just, right there, your state gets money for you? Y'all work together. You write him a letter. Sir, I know you got a nice car. I know you got an excellent house. You send your kids through college. I need a house. And I need a car. And I went to the dealership, and this is the purchase agreement. The car costs $60,000. Here's the purchase agreement. Please send me a invoice so I can take it to the dealership.
Gotcha.
Let him tell you something different. Excuse me. Wait a minute. Let's go back to that Social Security. Are you getting a state plan and you getting money from me every year? How come you're not letting me get a car? It's essential.
Right.
It's an essential consumer good. This
consumer.
Is why things are considered. I am a consumer, and that's going to be free. Pay me so I can pay him, and then I don't come out of my pocket. In other words, I get it for free.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And can he get like an invoice, pick out a car and get the sticker or whatever they give and send it to the Attorney General and have them make the check out to the dealership or whatever? Can he do it that way?
It sounds like you do it backwards. If you tell somebody I need something, you need to tell them what you need and how much it's going to cost. You know, I go to the dealership. I look around and they give me, you ain't got to be doing my credit report. Why? Because I ain't buying it now. I just want to see what you have available and give me an invoice with your letterhead.
Yeah,
name on there, whatever, so I can send it to the treasurer and say, please give me some money out of my estate. In Michigan, you be in Michigan, MCL 333.292. That is the law that says the state treasurer had to set up an account for you when you were born. 333 is the section that we were born and how they register us and, you know, what the placenta that the mother took out. They're keeping that placenta. The mother's going home with the child, but it's the placenta, the dead tissue that they're putting the birth certificate on, not the child. They can't do the child. The child's breathing. But the placenta that came with the child, you know, same time, that's what they be putting up. If they actually put it up, they may burn it. I don't know, but that is what they base the things on, that placenta. But the point is, Michigan, you read that law, and you'll see. He set it up, and he's going to invest money. He's going to invest the money he's putting in there, and it says that when the money comes back after investment has been done and the money comes back, you are not to mix it in with the general funds of the state. Don't mix it in with the state money. Don't be trying to buy no, you know, strip mall. No, it goes back into his account. So your account is steady building up. I don't know how old you are, but that's the minimum, whatever age you are, that's a minimum of $1 million that you got already in your account.
Mm-hmm.
You sound like you over 55?
No. I got a 70-year-old voice.
Like, yeah, your boy, you sound like a man that's retired. But
anyway. I'm way younger than that.
If you're 30, that's at least $30 million you got. You know what I'm just saying?
Yes,
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Not even counting the investments that they did. You know they ain't making no money and losing nothing.
Right.
They're not losing anything. But the point
I was just telling him they doing a line of credit on his money, so they really getting old. Go ahead, Mr.
Right.
Rice.
Yeah, they have credit to be taken. That's why I'm not crying about this. That for what you want? Well, go ahead and get it, but leave me alone. Don't try to put me in jail, and then go get my credit.
Mm-hmm. One last question about
essential
goods and services.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'll let the next person get it. I remember hearing on the call once that you were mentioning about the cooperatives and getting the groceries for consumers. You were saying that they have a form. Is that the form has to be filled out by the actual corporation, or do we have to fill out a form and take it to them to be able to go shop for like $300 worth of groceries or whatever at like a Costco?
No. No. Before I even answer that, let me give you the law that you can go and get the form. It's only one page. I mean, get the information in the law.
Okay.
Title 26, CFR 1.6044-4. Again, 26. CFR, that's the Code of Federal Regulations, which is basically their laws, their rules, 1.6044-4, exemptions for certain consumer cooperatives. They get exemptions, but if you look at the last paragraph, they have to fill out an application, which is called the 3491, so that the groceries, you went into Costco and you bought $300 worth of groceries, they have to write it and give it to the state so that it'll be zeroed. Because remember, it's already been paid for. It's prepaid. But they got to keep a record of what we sold. We sold $30,000 at this cash register with this woman that was in the cash, because they have the store on that receipt. They got the cash register on the receipt. And a cashier number. So those are items they have, so they can tell the state that this $300,000 that this man walked out with and didn't have to pay for anything, we need you to exempt us from even claiming it. So that is the exemption that the cooperatives must have. That 3491 is their application. So if you read that law, it'll answer your questions.
Gotcha. Well, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you as well, Beverly. I appreciate the fact that y'all are giving up the info, because we all need it. And I'll step back and let the next person have it. You guys take care. We love you.
All right. Love you. Better
thank
love.
You. Thank you, young man, posing as an old
yes, sir.
Man. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to 347-362. 347, area code.
I'm here. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, how you doing, Beverly? Hey, yep. How's it going, Myra?
Great.
It's Anthony.
Hi. Great.
Anthony from New York. How's it going, buddy?
Okay.
Can you just reiterate or go over again the how to? I'm dealing with a foreclosure, and also had a property that was taken, and I just want to know how I can go about getting back the property that was taken, also ceasing that foreclosure.
Okay. The foreclosure is for me. Wait. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many different ways you can do it. You can get the property out of it because the property is not collateral. If you look at your mortgage, it would say that you could have transferred the property even if it's not paid for. You could have transferred it out of them. So that way they wouldn't even have it in the first place to try to take it from you. But the foreclosure is based on the money of the promissory note. Someone didn't pay something, and that means under the what they call a pooling and service agreement, where they got contract with people, investors, and if you don't pay, then the bank has to pay the investors. So they don't want to do that. So they're trying to get the house so they can sell it and get their money. However, it is really the promissory note that they want, that they're foreclosing on. And some of the ways you could do it is, number one, if you notice, if you look at, and this is the law here, if you look at the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, Federal Reserve Act of 1913, Section 16, Paragraph 2 and Paragraph 4, it would basically say that the application and the promissory note was when they received the money. They gave the money to the Federal Reserve Board. So you may want to go to the Federal Reserve Board where they gave the money to the bank. The bank had to deposit it in their account, Federal Reserve Bank, in their account called a demand account. They deposit an account. That house was paid for. Now, what you want to do is ask them under the Truth in Lending Act, you can request them to give you a statement of account, certified. That statement of account, they use what's called the GAAP accounting system, G-A-A-P, General Acceptance Accounting Practice. All they have on there is asset liability, asset liability, asset liability, and they have to be balanced. So at all times, the balance is zero. So if you get this statement of account, and if they don't give it to you, then they are violating the Truth in Lending Act, and every loan is a what they call a consumer credit transaction. And so it says it's a consumer, again, transaction. And they actually, if you read the bank's policy of deposit, someone deposit money for you, and it's a deposit, they're supposed to be going to an arbitration, not to the court. Arbitration could be a small claims court where there's no lawyers that even allowed in a small claims court. See, they doing. I'm covering a lot of things here because you know you take out what's good for you, but they're not supposed to be going. You go get their agreements, their deposit agreements at that bank or the servicer bank, whatever service you're servicing. They're supposed to. Any dispute goes to arbitration, and an arbitration would be a small claims court. They weren't even supposed to go into a regular state court. District court, circuit court. No. They've already did violations. But if they don't give you that statement of account once you request it, then now you take them to small claims court to sue for the not giving you, violating, not giving you what is requested for them to give you on the Truth in Lending Act agreement. Because everyone had a Truth in Lending Act when they purchased their home. you may be able to find the paper where they had to give that to you. So I'm just trying to show legal ways you can go after them if they don't do what you can say. Now you can sue them, and you can sue them just like a regular person. Get whatever you want then. I don't think they want to go through all that. But sometimes they may want to see what you know and what you don't know. But they receive money under the Federal Reserve Act, Section 16, Paragraph 2 and Paragraph 4 states that the combination of an application and a promissory note given to the treasurer, they will be forwarded, what they call circulating notes, but in other words, it's money. They will be given money for that house that you filled out on an application. They do another application. You do one, they also do one too, called operating circular number 10. Operating circular number 10 is the application they filled out and the one they given to the treasurer so they can get the funds. So you got paid. You deposit money in my account and you didn't even tell me? You tell me to pay you for something that's already been paid for? They put you in another contract. So.
Yeah. So and they do that. Can he use the consumer protection, the attorney general too, because the house was his goods?
Yeah. And you could do that, especially if it's your essential home. Yes. But the only thing they're supposed to be acting on is the promissory note, not the house. Like I said, you can't have two collaterals. Come on. Actually, you're supposed to ask for the a list of collaterals from them. At the same time, you want to ask for the statement of account. You may want to ask for a list of collaterals. The house would not be listed as a collateral. It was the promissory note that would have been the collateral. If you look under 12 USC 412, 12 USC 412, it says that they're filling out an application. This is how they fill out an application, and it gives a list of collateral, and the collateral would be the promissory note. It says note, bill of exchange, a draft, which is a check, and a banker's acceptance or a trade acceptance. Those are listed as collateral. They say nothing about no house, no car. None of that stuff is on that list. I hope that helps.
Let me ask you a question. You said something in regards to the authenticated certificates, and I authenticated my certificate, and also I accepted and authenticated the certificate on the state and the federal level. And so you said I was supposed to give them notice of that being done, correct?
You're supposed to surrender back in, but did you finish the process? People do those, you got it back from the state, you had it authenticated at the state and at the federal level, correct?
And I also accepted it. I put an affidavit of acceptance on it before I sent it off to the state and the federal.
Okay, then. Did you register it to yourself so you have a registered number?
To myself, yes, I did.
Okay, you registered it. Did you put it in the newspaper under that registration number?
That I did not do.
You got to give them notice. You know, they don't know if you don't give them notice. The newspaper is how you give them notice. Again, you did something, but you didn't tell nobody.
Well, let me ask
you
a question.
The federal government, when they authenticate, they're not telling nobody. They're just doing their job and putting their John Hancock on there and a little seal. But at the bottom line is you saying in the paper, I got a registered birth certificate authenticated, and I got a registered birth record if you did it at the hospital level.
Well, I did that for my birth certificate, and I also did it for the warranty deed for the house as well.
Okay, but again, notice the house, everything for the house would be down at the register of deeds. But the birth certificate, you're supposed to put it in the paper, and then you have to give it back to the people who gave you the birth certificate. You got it from what, vital statistics, right? Okay, well, look under UCC 9-303, number B, I think the second level, where it says their birth certificate, their certificate that they have behind their counter becomes negated. It's void. It's no good. They're the issuing jurisdiction. You are the sequential. You the next jurisdiction. You got a superior position because UCC 9-303 is perfecting the certificate of title. See, everything we're saying here is when you accepting the, your warranty deed, you are perfecting it. Everything we've done is half-assed. Excuse the language, but y'all only halfway do it. You're not doing it all the way.
So even recording that information in the county, I still had to put it in the paper.
I would, because it's a done deal. Now, the county doesn't necessarily, the county is supposed to be a public notice in itself. But I would take it out of the county. Because, see, when I put it in the county, I'm only letting them know who the grantor is. This, I am the new grantor, okay? But I want to sell it to a trust. That trust is not required. There's a form that goes with it called a 2766 in Michigan, MI-2766. So you take that form and go to your assessor's office and say, what form that you have is similar to this form here? It's MI-2766. All real estate transitions are supposed to be reported to the assessor's office because that's how the taxes are figured out. And see, they got a lot of exemptions. You're supposed to put it, once you did the authenticating the warranty deed with the affidavit, then you have created what is called a common law contract. That's an exemption. A contract is an exemption, and it's called fee simple homestead. So you at the same level as a granny is on the Beverly Hillbillies. Anybody come on your property, you put some buckshot in their behind.
Okay.
That's how they own the land. That's your land now. But then
and
like
I can
again,
do that for the property as well, correct?
Say that again.
And I can do that for the property that I lost as well.
Yeah. If you got to go back and do authentication, but that's not going to be your primary property. But yeah, you can still accept it, and that's your property.
I accepted all of them. I just didn't record it as you stated, and give it to
and
the
then when you record, yeah. Once you still have to have it transferred because you got it. Anything that's filed down at the register of deeds goes back to the state. The state still owns it. That's their register. It's not required. And if you read our 2766 form I gave you, it says that even though there's transfer, whether it is recorded or not, you don't have to record. There's no law saying you have to record your house, your car, your children. None of those things have to be recorded. But under our public school education, we're putting stuff right back into the people and back into the slave owners' hole because we don't know. You don't have to record it. They can't. Show me the law. Cops stop you. If a cop pulls you over, what's your authority? What's your jurisdiction? I'm challenging your jurisdiction. What law are you stopping me for? Well, sir, you ran a red light. Where is the law that says in the Constitution that says that I can't run red lights? What's the constitutional law? That I can't drive 50 miles an hour in a 5 mile an hour lane. Where is the law? Show me your authority right now in writing. All that stuff they tell us we can't do on the highway is under a code. Statutes is not the law. Everything that happens in court is a presumption of law. A presumption of law. They are corporations. Can McDonald's take my car? What's the difference between McDonald's and the court. They all got an EIN number. They all on the market. I'm trying to get y'all to understand what's going on. Separate yourself from these people. Excuse me. You didn't give me no Christmas fund money. You ain't gave me no sick time, no vacation time. How the hell you think you could tell me what I'm supposed to do in my private vehicle? You only can regulate. Congress can only regulate commercial stuff. When I'm in my car, I'm not Ubering. I'm not delivering. I know there's some people delivering food to folks, but that's, they're doing business now. You're doing commerce. You got to be regulated. You can be stopped. But hey, I'm going over to my grandma's house. I'm going to church. I'm going to the topless bar. I'm private. Don't stop me. Don't keep me from enjoying my private life.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. I'll follow up with you and let you and finish everything off. Let you know that I've completed. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Okay, I appreciate you.
I didn't mean to get off subject, but these are things we're in a time situation, and these are things I'm trying to get people to understand. Police stop you. All these people are corporations, and they're not giving you a penny. Quit agreeing, because see, you do think if a cop says, "Give me your driver's license, registration, and insurance," and you give it to him, you just approved him to stop you. You just gave him jurisdiction over you. First thing that's come out of your mouth, I'm challenging your jurisdiction. What law says that you can stop me? What law? I'm in my private vehicle. I'm not traveling commerce. Do you see any sticker in here saying cab or something, you know?
Uber or Lyft.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to 864, area code 864.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me? Hi,
yes, we can.
Hi, Myron. It's Debbie. How you doing?
Great.
Hi, I'm great. Myron, so let me tell you what happened today, right? So today I went to the post office, right, because I was getting ready to mail off my resign as agent letter and stuff like that. I put a stamp on it, you know, because it's an official document for me. And I wanted the post office to cancel the stamp. And when I say they refused, gave me a hard time, the postmaster wasn't there. He's talking about, you know, I don't have a ride. So I told him I had to get a ride to get here. And I tried to record it, but my phone was too full. So they said to come back to talk to the postmaster tomorrow because they said, we don't do that because you already, you know, signed, you know, across it, so you canceled it. I said that the post office is supposed to, you know what I'm saying, cancel any stamp. It doesn't matter if I signed across it. You know, y'all supposed to be witnesses. And they refused. Is there anything that I can bring in there to show the postmaster that a cancellation of a stamp on a document, even though I've seen it in the Stamp Duty Act, but they don't understand that. Is that off topic? But, I just wanted to...
I guess the question, and I understand what you're trying to do, because, you know, I used to send mail and they pay a penny for it, you know, certified copies and stuff. But, I mean, this is just a letter. It doesn't even have to be... You could send it certified. It didn't have to be registered. It's just a letter to them.
No, it wasn't registered. I just asked them to cancel the stamp on the letter. Then notice things like, oh, and then the lady scanned my document without my permission.
Wait a minute. It wasn't in an envelope? I'm kind of missing out what you were trying to do, because what I don't understand what you were trying to do. If you was going to certify or just send a regular letter and just pay, you know, 50 cents or whatever, or you just want to get at least certified so you can get a track on it. You can go get that tracking number for it. And
no, it wasn't the envelope itself. What I did was put a stamp on the document, you know, because I also had, not only did I have my resignation letter, I also had my letter to the treasurer with my, you know, requests as well as the documentation that I had needed, that I was presenting, which was the invoice for the house and the car. So I put a stamp on them. and I asked the postmaster to cancel it. That was the problem. It was on the letter itself.
I have never heard anyone. We put stamps on stuff, but only when it's going to the court. Because that where you put in a stamp, it doesn't allow the judge to put his stamp on it. We don't put it. We just use it when we send something to the court, not to anybody else. Because nobody else really gonna understand what the stamp is for, unless you send it using a red robin. What's that stamp? Is it red robin? Unless you use it as a payment. As you're using as a payment, but we don't have them. They don't put any stamps on top of anything that I know of. I mean, I'm not saying that it can't be done, but I don't see no purpose of them putting something on my document. Maybe on the stamp. That's all they're supposed to do, on the envelope, but not on my document. I've never seen that done. I don't know anyone who would do it. I don't see a purpose for that. That's private. What's inside is private. All you want them to do is deliver it as a government agency so that other company that it got delivered can't say they never got it. Wait a minute. I got a tracking. They put it at your front door. And then what I would do after that is to ask the Freedom of Information Act to say what the status of the letter is. And they send mine back with a time stamped on it, which is even better than the green card. But I don't get in them doing anything inside my envelope. You know, mm-hmm. I ask them for the cert. If I'm going registered, I ask them for a registered stamp because we used to get them for free, and now they hold it in the back. So if I say I want this registered and they give me a stamp, I say, well, I got to go over here and write the number on my documents. But what I normally do is just leave the building and go home and do everything there, make copies of stuff. That I got a registered number on it. But that's it. I don't do no stamps. I think that's a little bit overboard, and we're not there to start a lot of confusion. We're just there to get something delivered. It's what's important, having a stamp on there or that they get the letter that states that you quit.
Right.
Okay. I'm just saying, let's get to why are we doing it? I just want them to get the letter saying I quit. I don't care whether it got a stamp on it or not have a stamp on it. I didn't have a stamp on mine. I just said I quit. And then I got it back from the Freedom of Information that had the timestamp saying they received it. Well, that's better to me than, like I said, the green card and the tracking that I had. So I had like four different methods of showing that you got the letter that I quit. So I assume in all the years that I did it in 2014 that I assume the Secretary of State has been paying all my taxes because I never got any mail. I did get letters from the post, from the IRS 3 days ago. Three letters from the IRS. Apparently they must have gone through some kind of employee chain. Maybe the people that I did it with in 2014 retired. I don't know. But I know I opened it up. I saw that it had my hall cap name. It had my last four. I'm like, oh, no, this is not mine. So I put it back in the envelope. I used a letter opener, so it was real fine. I put tape on there. I said, open in air. Open in air. And then I got my little stamp. I quit, da-da-da-da. I put it in the newspaper. I got a stamp that do that. And that's it. I sent it back to them. Now, I might call them again and say, hey, do y'all have record? I quit. Because if not, you should have it right now. I got it on the envelope. But don't get caught up in the little stuff, people. Just make it plain, simple, and straight. All this stamp, and I know there's stamp duties, but they were doing that, talking about how to make payments and stuff like that, how to use your letter to make a payment. So if you're going to make a payment and you give it to a CFO, maybe you want to. I know a red fox, that was not red rock. Red fox stamp is based on gold. It's got two lines on the dollar sign. It's got two lines in there. But other than that, if I go to court, I will put something in the upper right-hand corner because apparently that's where the judge put his information that he needs. So I just took his spot.
Mm-hmm.
So
Now,
I don't know what he going to do. Go ahead.
Okay, so the other question is, do you know about changing your information in the social, like changing your status with the Social Security?
No.
Like redoing the SSI form?
No, because the Social Security is, again, that's something I got rid of when I resigned. I don't care. They could make money off the Social Security. All I want to do is get that 521 form and quit before they stop everybody's Social Security. I figure it'd be about another 3 or 4 years, and they're going to get rid of Social Security. So I suggest we start taking our funds out now and be buying some gold and silver.
So the 521 form is to help
I think it's
cancel the Social Security?
Yeah, I think it says withdrawal from the Social Security. I believe it was 521.
But when you do that, they said that they keep all of the stuff in it. I believe.
How could they? It's not there to do that. Why would you have a withdrawal form and you're not withdrawing anything? That doesn't make sense. Again, it says withdrawal of Social Security. So why would they have it be a withdrawal and then they say they ain't going to give you nothing? That's a contradiction. Somebody is lying. And I can't blame the form since he don't talk.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, but
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want them to keep the Social Security now because they're making money off of it. But I don't get it. Even though I'm qualified, no. I'm not going to be paying a couple of $100 a month. No, I want the whole thing, everything. So that's what I'll be looking into in the next year, starting next year, getting rid of the whole kit and caboodle.
All right. We're going to 469, area code 469354.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Great.
Hi. How is everyone doing?
Good.
How can we help you?
Okay, so my question would be, I have a few quick ones. So the one regarding the cooperative exemption that the gentleman asked about earlier, would I know, I'm here in Texas, and I looked under the Attorney General website. I think you had mentioned about that a while back, Myra, and so I see that's where that's governed or located. But when it comes to the, how would I find, or do I just go to each store, like a Walmart, for example, to see if they have that exemption, or do I just give it to them? Like, is it a list? Because from what I've read, it deals with farmers.
Well, did you write down the law I told you to look at that I gave him?
I did. And I found the form, too. I tipped away from my
Yeah, well, there's a law that I gave you. Again, there's a 26 CFR. 1.6044-4. It's telling the cooperatives what to do. This is what they do. And they say you must fill out an application if someone come in there and say that they're a consumer and don't want to pay for nothing. So, and then it says the last paragraph says there's this form that the application you have to fill out so that you don't have to report what they purchased.
Right, yeah, because I seen the form, what you had mentioned to him. I looked at the form, and it was funny because I was thinking to myself, you know, what if it's a situation where you go to the store, and I know it's their issue, but you go to the store, you show them that, and they're like, well, we don't even want to deal with the paperwork. Just go ahead on and take what you need. So if something like that was to happen, will we need to report them to the IRS or report them to Attorney General or whoever the form goes to if they choose not to use it or –
It's not your problem. It's not something you've got control of. All you're doing is let them be able to get an exemption for what you purchase. Mm-hmm. Now, if you could walk out the store and don't pay a dime, your job is done. You sound like that other lady. Y'all going way overboard. Just say, you know, give me a debit card so when it says $340 of grocery, that I just slide my card down and it all goes to zero. Then I can just walk on out because I got a receipt that says I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get stopped at the door saying you're stealing this, ma'am.
Right, right. Okay.
And she can't do it with the cashier because they don't have a clue. She got to go to management, don't she? You got to go to the office.
Well, management, you always got to start off with the management. They don't know, cashiers don't know about that. Nobody, if people knew about it, everyone would be doing
this
it.
This is probably,
you pretty much got to go to the people you don't see. Because, like you said,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Management or, you know, people supervise, district managers, things like that.
The district.
Because it tells you in the law. Once you read the law, it tells you who they got to report to. So you can even go to the person they got to report to. It tells you in this law that I just gave you who they got to report to. So if they don't do what you want to do, then you call and find out what is going on. Because they have to have some kind of qualification. They got to be able to sell stuff. And that's what they're doing. They're selling things. So it's no reason. They don't lose anything, which we're doing. What the consumers are doing, they don't lose anything because everything was paid for. All they're doing is they don't have to report it if you walk out with it, because if it's not, they got to account for every single thing they got in that store.
Right.
They got to do the inventory. But if something's going out of that store, just like they have, you can have, if you got a business, you get a wholesale license where you get a discount on stuff, you know? They got to report that to the IRS. Well, what costs $100, they bought a wholesale for $25 so they can charge taxes at their store. You know, it's just making sure everything get reported properly. And that's what that application does. It lets them know that how they're supposed to report. Same problem I had with that tax form, W-2C. That you're supposed to get that from your employer. You're not supposed to be filling that form out. And there's a page on that form, the W-2C, in the last page it says employer. They got a 1-800 number they got to call. They got more information on it now. They changed it this year. They added some more stuff. But basically saying the same thing. You have to fill this out and give it to your employee. So it's something you don't sweat it. It's not your problem.
Okay. So the next question I have, it deals with, I did this Surety Bond Direct website, I think, that you had talked about. And I might have did something wrong. But so my car, I got it in 2019. It was financed through the dealership. And then about 3 months later, it got refinanced through my credit union at the time. And so then COVID came. I fell into financial hardship. And so the credit union would send me paperwork for, you know, the title. So I noticed that I didn't even give them power of attorney. I didn't fill out that paperwork or anything like that. And so just like the other gentleman, I used my passport. I don't have a driver's license. I haven't had one since 2012. So here it is. I never fill out the title paperwork because I noticed that they were trying to put a lien on the car, or a notice of a lien, or whatever the case may be, or trying to gain power of attorney. So I go to the DMV to see if I can get the title. So the DMV said that the finance company from the dealership, they are the lien holders on the car, not the credit union. They're nowhere on there. So when I called the first lien holder, like, hey, you know, can I get the title? And they're saying, well, we need a letter from the old from the refinance company from the bank showing that you paid it off. Well, I did do a 1099A. I didn't get anything back. I'm assuming it was taken care of. I haven't heard anything. It's not even on my credit report. There is no debt anywhere. So I did the surety bond, and I was trying to see the numbers of if I did anything over 30 grand. And so they came back and said, well, yeah, that's going to be like $750 for 3 years. And so I got to get them, see if I can do it for less than 30 to see 30K just to see what the amount would be. But the agent that's been contacting me, he said, well, we need to know, you know, why you don't have the title, and you need the title in order for you to get a surety bond. So what is the workaround with that?
I don't understand.
It sounds like they're holding my title hostage.
It's not. First of all, I never, and the people I've done it for, never had to produce a title. That all they, the only thing you want a title for is so you put the information about the vehicle on it. But no one ever requires you having a title. That is not part of it. Because you could be, you can have a car insured and it's still owned by the state. You just don't have to pay all the insurance for it. The insurance is separate from the car itself. You have to have the car free and clear to get the title. That's a whole mm-hmm. separate issue than you putting insurance on it. I can insure you right now if I want. If you give me your information, I could call any insurance company and insure you. So if you die, I get some money for it. But uh-huh. that doesn't mean that, you know, the having paid the car off. You have to pay the car off. You can either argue that the promissory note you signed paid it off, as I told you, go into the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, Section 16, Paragraph 2 and 4, where you receive money, or you argue, did you not receive money on my promissory note? Please give it to me with a notarized, certified letter that's notarized saying you did not receive any money for my vehicle. I mean, they don't want to argue it, but that's the way you would do it. You got to somehow say that it was zero. Ask for the statement of account. Please hand me the statement of account. That's required under the Truth in Lending Act. And they use GAAP, so it would be zero because whatever's on one side of the column is on the other side. So it's zero balance when they give you a certified copy of the certificate of the statement of account. It's always zero because it's paid right. for already. But you can't mix the owning the car ship along with the title, I mean with the insurance, because it's just liability. All it's doing is protecting the people in the car. That's it. Mr. Kennedy,
yeah,
all we got is no fault.
Yeah, so when I requested the agent, the email I'm reading, it says, I just emailed you the approval for the title, Texas title bond. However, I noticed you wrote the lien holder would not release the title. The only way we would be able to write this bond is if on the notice of determination you receive from Texas DMV state that there is no lien on the record.
Well, I don't know who you, I don't know what kind of title company you went to.
It's suretybondsdirect.com.
Like I said, I have no idea because what you're doing, because that's a whole separate deal. I don't need to talk about what we did here and it happened. So I don't know. I know that some states don't even have surety bond direct, didn't do it, but you need to go and put in, sign another surety bond company. If you ask me, there's more than one out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna check another one, and I've been messaging you back and forth on Skype, so I can do a screenshot and send it to you if you want to see what it looks like.
No, I believe you. It's just that I don't get in nobody else's drama like that. I'm just don't understand what is the title has to do with anything as far as you getting insurance on a car. If I go to a regular insurance company. All they want to see is the registration and whatever's on there. They don't even ask for the title because you don't get a title. You never have that. They always got the title. Uh-huh. You might be able to use your certificate of title, which is not really the title. It's a certificate of title, meaning the state owns
well,
it because the state owns it.
That's what they're talking about, the certificate of title.
No, she was saying they asked for her title.
Yeah, they're asking for my title. Yeah, but it is. I'm gonna check. I'm gonna check other websites. But the website you talk about, Surety Bonds Direct, that's exactly who I went through.
Yeah, well, I know for a fact that no one can get your car must be free and clear to get the title. It don't have to be free and clear to get the bond, though. You can bond the title, the vehicle title. You can bond. But to get the car free and clear and get the title of the car, you need to have it free and clear. It sounds like you still owe money on the refinancing on there. So why don't you zero that debt out? That's what you need to be focusing on. Zero whoever got a lien on there, they're not going to release it unless you get rid of all those lien holders. So you need to settle that whoever got the lien on there and ask for the statement of account. Certified copy of a statement account with a notary stamp of the balance under the using the GAAP accounting system. That's the only way I could suggest.
That's what I do. Because the company is Santander. They're the ones who financed it originally at the dealership. And then the credit union refinanced it. I did a 1099A. Everything went through. It's not on my credit report. They don't send me letters or anything like that. They don't even have any record of anything. I never signed power of attorney. When I go to the DMV, they only see one lien holder, and that's from the dealership. They don't even see anything dealing with the other company. But like I said, I can do a payment on account, so I don't know what somebody must have dropped the ball somewhere with the banks. I don't know. I just know that the second part doesn't exist anywhere.
Yeah, well, and I personally don't understand what the 1099A did with anything. The 1099A is just to alert whoever the servicer is and the IRS and who was the original lender. And once they know who the original lender is, then you could tell the bank to give you a 1099 OID for every single check that you wrote out of that bank. But if you want to get rid of the debt, you have to file a 1099C to cancel the debt of the whatever the full amount of the vehicle was. You have to go, you go to your, well, you say it's not in your credit report, but you've got to look at your application. Whatever the original amount of the vehicle, you have to do an A and a C on the original amount. You don't do it for the monthly payment. You do the whole thing. What you do for the monthly payment is you give them an invoice saying, I forgive you for this debt here. However, I'm charging you for putting my name, address, zip code, social signature in the public, and you charge them whatever you want. That's under the Fifth Amendment. They can't use something, your private information. Your name is private. Isn't your name on the envelope? Well, they're supposed to pay you for it, and you say, I'm charging you for it, but I do forgive you under the Lord's Prayer. You are trespassing. Anyone who sends you a bill is trespassing on your estate. And it's up to you, the Secretary of State, the Treasurer, and Attorney General to protect the estate. Send them, there's a letter called a David Clarence letter. You may want to find that out. And you pass it to them. What is your authority to send me a bill? What's your authority?
Okay,
that's
and one quick
do.
Last.
Yeah, go ahead.
One quick last one. With the birth certificate, does it matter if there's signatures on it? Like on my birth certificate, my mother actually signed the birth certificate, but on my son's birth certificate, my signature is not on it. So, is there a difference, or does it matter if there's a signature on it or not?
No, the birth certificate is just showing when the person was born. That's all it is. It's just a record. It's just a record when the estate was opened up. Who signs it?
I know there were times you said, you know, you will say in older podcasts that I've listened, you will say, you know, you'll ask, you know, is your signature on it? Well, my mother's signature is on mine. Like, it's handwritten, and she actually signed it. So I didn't know if that was something that's extra or anything like that, but you're saying it's not.
No, the only thing that has required your signature that you're looking for and it's not there is on the authentication. Your mama didn't authenticate that birth certificate. It was somebody at the treasury, the registrar at the treasury stamped that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you gave it to the state stamped it. And then you sent it to the federal government, and the federal government stamped it. And none of those things had your signature on it, so you didn't finish it. Anyone could take that information and put their affidavit on top of it saying, this is me, because you didn't finish it.
Right. Okay.
You have to put an
affidavit
in there and your signature. Yeah, your signature and a notary witnesses you sign and affirm everything that's there, and then you register it to yourself, and then you put it into the newspaper. And then once all that done, then you surrender it back to the secretary, the treasurer, the registrar at the Secretary of State, because their birth certificate becomes void. You perfected yours, so theirs is no longer used. So anybody come after you, they have to get your approval. I'm sorry, you can't touch this social. But you're in control. You are at the age of majority. You're supposed to be able to handle your own affairs.
That's why you surrender it back in, so you can handle your own affairs.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. Okay. I don't have
thank
any
you.
Other questions. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're
thank
welcome.
You. All right, Mr. Rice, we got 15 minutes, and if you want to wrap it up, and we appreciate you giving us your time and giving us this valuable information. Wait, I have another hand raised here. Hold on. 323-207.
Better love.
Better love.
Hey, family, how y'all doing?
Good.
Okay.
Good.
It's good to hear you back on, Mr. Rice. It's good to hear you back on again. I just have a quick question.
I'm not on permanent. I'm just here to, you know, give a little pep show for her.
You just pass it through. Yeah, I understand. Community service. I just had a quick question. In regards to the process, as far as when you putting things in the newspaper, when do you know when to authenticate something and then put it in a newspaper, or do you, like you said, when we resign, you didn't authenticate that resignation notice, but you did put it in the newspaper. So how do you know when to authenticate something, and how do you know when to just put it in the newspaper? Because like you said, an authentication on the state level is just for the notary, validating the notary, and also it's making it accessible for court. So that was just my question in regards to knowing when to get something authenticated or when to just put it in the newspaper and give notice.
Okay, well, if you look at that law, the UCC law 9-303, it says perfecting and prioritizing a certificate of title. Now, the birth certificate is a certificate of title. Your car is a certificate of title. My I quit letter was just a letter. So there's no perfecting that. I just want people to know I quit, and then I put it in the paper as proof of my quitting. How else would I be able to prove it if it wasn't in the public record, some public record saying that I did? But the authentication came because it was a certificate of title. That's why I tell people, go get the assumed name certificate in Minnesota instead of a DBA doing business as, is not a certificate. So you can't perfect a DBA. But I can perfect an assumed name certificate. It is a certificate. So that would be the difference. One, a certificate that I authenticate. The other one is just a letter, a notice. It's not a certificate, just a notice. Did that answer your question?
Thank you. Yeah, that makes so much sense, man. I really do appreciate you. And Auntie B, this is my last question, Brother Mr. Rice. I really do appreciate you. You still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. We're waiting for the question.
Yeah. How do we terminate and liquidate an account, or say a death certificate, or say this? How do we terminate and liquidate these bonds, or how do we terminate and liquidate an account?
If it's got a signature on it, then again, I gave you a 20 title 20 CFR 404.1905. Now, how you terminate them? Usually, I think bonds, I don't know if you terminate bonds, they just get used when there's something that needs to be paid. Now, the other ones I suggested, you may have to go to whatever the company is or look further in laws on how you surrender them. I'm not sure about what you want to terminate. Because, see, people seem to want to try to get money. There is no money. And according to the law of House Joint Resolution 192, which is actually House Joint Resolution, you only could do things dollar for dollar. So if someone wants a car, you better go to the dealership and get the cost of the car and get an invoice for the cost of the car.
not the cost of the car plus a dollar. Because now you ain't doing a dollar for dollar. You're trying to make a profit. And when you say questions like that, it sounds like you're just trying to make a profit. If I want something, I can go to the state, and the state will take care of it. If, you know, so
no,
if I need a car, I need a house, that's fine. But you sound like someone wants some extra money that they could just throw around at some rappers or something.
I was referring to, like you have said, when our ancestors passed and how, like, those accounts will remain open. But it is our job, as far as protecting their estates, to terminate and liquidate those accounts. So I was referring to, like, an elder that might have passed.
Yeah. I'll be working on that, because I had an aunt die back in March. So I put a UCC, I put her death certificate in there, both my mother and my grandfather. You know, I put their death certificate involved in there in my will, so I am in charge of that. So if there's anything that they owe, I can go back and get it. But I haven't got into how to terminate it, because I just done it like 4 months ago. So I've been focusing on other things, you know, how to make sure I can't be arrested or put in jail for the things that I'm about to go start doing. I know how they're listening to me right now. They can't, you know, they can destroy my computer. It's in my head. The only way they can get rid of it is kill me, so I'm not worried about all that. But if it's something that I owe any money, oh, gosh, Michigan got a law y'all need to look at where anything that is a public debt, in Michigan law is MCL
12.61.
MCL 12.61, basically payment of full faith and credit obligation. Now, I like that full faith and credit, because when I authenticated my birth certificate on the state and federal level, I'm full faith and credit. They made me full faith. So and then I can walk in any store or any loan house and get a loan, because I'm full faith and credit. So you can't refuse me of anything. But under this one, it says how any bills we get, any principal or interest that we get in the mail, that we're supposed to forward it to the treasurer, state treasurer. So that is so nice. 12.61 says what is obligations, and then you get to 6.2 saying every payment of principal and interest on obligations of state. So anything that's a state bill, a bill that's developed in the state, duties of the state treasurer. Now, remember, he get $1 million a year, so, hey, we know now if we got something, they got funds to pay for it. Pass it to the state. That's what we do. Promptly forward it. I gave him my job description. I was promptly forwarded to the treasurer, and he was taking care of it. So I don't know if all my bills are taken care of, and if I want to buy something, I know I go to the treasurer, then what other life would I want to lead, you know?
Also, caller, Eon just put out, E-E-O-N, he has a video that he just put out about the bonds, and he showed you the process. So you might want to look at that.
Yeah, I saw that today. He just put that out today.
Yeah. So look at he explained it. So kind of. All right. Thank you, caller.
Thank y'all.
Okay. So I just saw that too. He just put that out, and he kind of explained, give you the process of the bond. Well, Mr.
Did
Wright, go ahead.
No.
Did he what? No, I was
no,
wrapping
I,
it up.
I,
go ahead.
What
you say?
Oh, no, I'm done. I think I've gone through everything.
No, what you asking? Okay, well, you was getting
ready. No, I was going to ask about Eon. Did he just put – I'm bringing up his stuff now. I was wondering, did he put it out today? Because I know he got judges violate the law, how to deal with them. Something he's mentioned. Never, never take a plea. Don't ever plea. Anytime you
ever,
plead
right.
for something, you admit that you are guilty.
Yeah.
And the judge cannot give you a plea. I'm going to give you a not guilty. No. That if there is no plea put in the record, they have no case to put in the court. And see, that was something I thought that was beautiful. And he gives you the law saying, if you plead, you have committed, you have really just told them that you're guilty of the charge. It reminds me of a tax court. You know, there's a tax court, and people go to tax court. But when you go to tax court, you already have told them you owe the taxes. All they're going to do is try to figure out how you can pay it back. That's what tax court is about. You already admitted you're guilty by going to court. So what all they're going to do is try to figure out what monthly payments you're going to need to do to pay them back. So, and that's the same thing with a plea. I'm not pleading nothing.
Okay.
I'm trying to see that where did he do
somebody
the,
had a question too that from the chat room.
Oh, okay. Go ahead with your question. Go ahead.
Would you recommend parents who have children under 18 years old should get baby deed of land recording? Otherwise, the baby belonged to the state. Is that right?
Well, you can put, if they belong to the state, then what you would do is file a UCC for each child, or you put two on every state, on every UCC, and you put $50 billion. You put a higher lien on than the state. You just put a high lien. So if they want to give your child a shot, they got to give you $50 billion. Because you're in control with that, with the UCC-1. You're telling them in the public record what this child is if they want to do something. Because you're supposed to put your child under your will as an asset. So that way the child becomes private property of your will, of you.
And they were saying something about the indemnity bond. Are you familiar with that? In the court process, they were saying Article 1105.
No, I'm not familiar with indemnity bond.
Okay.
I've heard of it. But I can't right now. I can't focus on it.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Rice. We appreciate. Every time you come by and give us some knowledge, you are definitely part of the awakening, and we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, give me. I'll be back in. I'll come on back in another couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, but that week after that, every other week.
Okay.
I'll step
okay.
Week.
Great.
All right.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate you. Okay. And appreciate everyone else for listening. Hopefully I'll be on tomorrow with Dr. Robert X or Wednesday. Better love, everyone.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, we're polishing up our right now. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going.
Keep up.